दंडवत प्रणाम, शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय, प्रतिदास श्री रामशाला, हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण प्रीति माता जी, दंडवत प्रणाम। प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ऑबेसेंसेस, ऑल गोइस टू शिल प्रभुपाद। थैंक यू सो मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर एसोसिएशन। हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण माता जी, दंडवत प्रणाम। सो ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद एंड गुरु महाराज एंड ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवस। दिस इज कीर्ति दास रेदासी। Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your association. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Vinita Gandharika Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your association. Hare Krishna. Any other devotees who would like to introduce themselves? Mataji, shall we start recording? I think Prabhuji is already in the call, or we'll wait for 2 minutes. I request any other devotees, if you would like to introduce yourself, you can please go ahead. We have 2 minutes time. Sorry, Prabhuji, to making you wait. We'll just wait for 2 minutes. We'll start at 11 o'clock, Prabhuji. Atashi, your voice was breaking. Shall I start?
Yes, Mataji, I think so. You can start now.
I welcome each and everyone once again for the Bhaktivedanta Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Jayanand Gauranga Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, Antalila 20.72 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept our humble obeisance. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very valuable time and association to us. I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललितश्रीविशाखावितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपतक स्वामिनिति नामिने नमाचार्य पादाय निताय कृपा प्रदायिने गौरकथा धामदाय नगर ग्राम तारिणे नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we are almost in the last phase of this Chaitra Charitamrita. This is the last chapter as well, and it's almost ending. And in fact, every one of these verses talk about the end of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is verse number 72. Yata cheshtha yata pralapa nahi prarhavara. Paravara se sabhavarnithe granthahaya suvishthara. There is no limit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and his words of madness. Therefore, describing them all would greatly increase the size of this book. I'm going to do a few more verses. We'll read the translation. Whatever pastimes Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has first described, I've merely summarized. I've only very briefly described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Nevertheless, because those transcendental pastimes are so numerous, the size of this book is increased. It is impossible to describe all the pastimes elaborately. I shall therefore end this description and offer them my respectful obeisances. What I have described gives merely an indication, but following this indication, one may obtain a taste of all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I cannot understand the very deep, meaningful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My intelligence cannot penetrate them, and therefore I could not properly describe them. After offering my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of all my Vaishnava readers, I shall therefore end this description of the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll stop with that. So in this verse and the subsequent verses that we are talking here, there is an elaborate description of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And so the book that has been referred here, so I'm just going to briefly go over the different biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many, and let's take a look at each of them and see at what angle, in which how they approach the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagavata, I think it was written somewhere around 1540 or something like that. It was initially called Chaitanya Mangala, and then it is written, as we all know, and it's referred to in this verse. It's written by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. It carries a pattern which is like Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Adi, it's called as Adi Khanda, Adhya Khanda, Antya Khanda. So that's how it's divided. The Adi Khanda contains 16 chapters. It starts from the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the reason for his appearance, his initial education, okay, the activities with Keshava Kashmiri, and then his marriage, and then he talks about his travel to Gaya, and then meeting Ishwarapuri Maharaj at Gaya, and then his initiation at Gaya. That's where the first 16. So it heavily emphasizes the initial pastimes in Navadvip. The Madhya Kanda is the in-between portion, which contains 27 chapters, and it contains about many of the esoteric activities of Mahaprabhu, his external symptoms and then the bhava that he exhibited about his disciples, who all came, how did they get started, about his associates, and then the incidents of Jagai, Madai, and then there is elaborate description about Chand Kazi, and it runs even the Kesho Kashmiri chapter, it's very elaborate. It talks about the verse. It talks about what were the conversations between Saraswati Devi and Kesho Kashmiri, and how his change was perceived, and then the civil disobedience movement with starting the first Krishna Nagar Sankirtan, Krishna Sankirtan movement, which was which headed towards the palace of Chand Kazi. And with that, there are 27 chapters. It's way more elaborate in all these things than Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's very descriptive. It's very descriptive in terms of the activities. And then Antyakhanda, which contains the 10 chapters, it starts with Katuwa, the acceptance of sannyasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering the renounced order, the lamentation of Sachi Mata. It talks about the travel to Puri, Jagannath temple, and then the deliverance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and a little about what he did in Jagannath Puri, but then it just stops there. So wherever Chaitanya Bhagavata ends, pretty much Chaitanya Charitamrita starts there, because Chaitanya Charitamrita does not do much about the initial pastimes, which are much elaborately covered in Chaitanya Bhagavata. And then he's comparing Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he compares Chaitanya Vrindavan Das Thakur to Vyasadeva. And hence, you also have the appropriate name here as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. And being guided by none other than Lord Nityananda himself, it's a very elaborate book. I think it's almost twice the size of Chaitanya Charitamrita if you see the number of verses. So let's go to the next one. So we are ending with this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the year 1557, based on the orders of the deity of Sri Radha Govinda in Vrindavan. And many Vaishnavas had requested Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write elaborately the descriptions of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's biography, it covers more of the initial pastimes, but they really wanted to hear more about the trip of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to South India. They wanted to hear about I just wanted to confirm, you're all able to see the screen, is that correct? If somebody
Yes, Prabhuji.
So they wanted to hear from him about the South India trip, more about his trip to the Vraja and his pilgrimage and his latter pastimes. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is heavily written down and copied by the different Vaishnavas, and heavily preached in Bengal later by Srila Narottama Das Thakur and then his contemporaries, and then they all made several copies of it, and then it was all transported from Vrindavan to Bengal. And so the Adi Leela contains 17 chapters. It contains about the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, none other than the primordial personality as Krishna himself, and his lineage. And it talks like what is the lineage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in terms of his acceptance of initiation and so on. It talks about some of his childhood pastimes, not a lot, but it talks about, but they're all very relevant. And then it talks about his devotional associates, like how did everybody come, that's called as the branch, the Chaitanya tree, which is it's like it's called as the Bhakti Vriksha, so the Chaitanya tree, which contains so many branches, which and it talks about each branch, like who is the branch and how it in turn expands, and then about the fruit bearing tree, you know, how it is, how the tree expands. So it talks about those. It talks about the five expansions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in terms of Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhara Pandit, and then you have Srinivas Thakur, and then Advaita Acharya. And it also talks about the verse narrated to Keshava Kashmiri, Mahatvam Gangayam, and then that verse ending with Bhavani Bhartuhu Shirasid Adbhuta Vibhavat Adbhuta Gunaha. So it talks elaborately about the verse and Mahaprabhu pointing the faults and the merits of the verse, and then it talks about the Chand Kazi pastime, and then not as elaborate as that in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. Chaitanya Bhagavata gives a very beautiful description. If somebody has not read it, I would seriously recommend that you please read the Chand Kazi description in Chaitanya Bhagavata. It is so wonderful to read, and it gives some amazing activities as to in terms of the details that are there with respect to that Nagar Sankirtan. It is really very, very inspiring. And it talks about all the pastimes elaborated. It also talks about towards the end of the Adi Leela, it also takes a chapter from a pastime that's actually narrated in the Madhya Leela. It comes much after that, the one with Prakasha and the Saraswati in Varanasi. And it actually takes about it takes that pastime, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is so worried that because he wrote this in his latter days of life, and therefore he was very worried that he would not be able to complete the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he did not want this book to go without this pastime, and so he the philosophical aspects of the active of the conversation with Prakash and the Saraswati actually appears in the Adi Leela, which is not very chronological. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is very chronological, but in some cases it is not very chronological because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very concerned whether he would be able to cover those pastimes later, and so he covered it in the Adi Leela itself. So and that comes towards the end of the Adi Leela. The Madhya Leela is the largest part of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela is of course the smallest. The Madhya Leela is 25 chapters. It starts with the acceptance of sannyasa, but all that is more elaborately described in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. So therefore, it is not that elaborate here, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But it does talk about the acceptance of sannyasa and the feelings, and Nimai sannyasa is a very, very elaborate drama that has been enacted for many, many years, and it's very touching. And this, after the Nimai sannyasa, he goes to it talks about how the activities of Mahaprabhu and how he crossed the river Ganga, and then he thought it was Yamuna, and then how he was tricked and brought to Advaita Acharya's house. And then it talks about the cooking of Sri Sachi Mata in Advaita Acharya's house, and how Mahaprabhu accepted that in spite of him being in the sannyasa ashrama. But based on his mother's advice, he did not go to Vrindavan, but he went to Jagannath Puri. And there it talks about on the way, it talks about a number of temples that they met, like Haridas Thakur, Jagadananda Pandit, all they all went along, Nityananda Prabhu, they all went along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on his way there, it talks about how they went to the temples on the way, the Sakshi Gopal temple, and so on. And then it also talks about Madhavendra Puri's life and how he how the Lord himself stole the Amrit Keli for Madhavendra Puri, and it talks about those Kshirachora Gopinath. It talks about those temples, and then on his way to Jagannath Puri, and then it talks about how he Lord received the visit to Jagannath temple. And the philosophical conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where with elaborate description of the Atmarama verse, and Mahaprabhu giving an explanation of that from 64 perspectives. And later, with he again gives 64 meanings to to Sanatana Goswami later, but then without even touching those 64 verses that he actually gave to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then it talks about his pilgrimage to South India. It talks about the different temples that he visited on the course. He went to Kanchi and different places, to the southern Mathura called Madurai, and then he went to Rameshwaram, and then to he went to Udupi, passing through Kerala, and then how he then came to Pandharpur, where his older brother Vishwarupa, he was there. And then he, I mean, he had left his body at the time, before that time. So, and then he, and then it talks about his return and getting the scriptures called Brahma Samhita, and also a very nice book called as Krishna Karanamrita, written by Bilwa Mangala Thakur on his way. And so one of those books was obtained in a temple of the Lord Janardana. And this is, this temple is in Kerala, and it's a little north of the present day Trivandrum or Thiruvananthapuram. And so that's where one of these scriptures was obtained. The other scripture was the Brahma Samhita was obtained in, it's right now, I think, in Tamil Nadu, but then it's a very beautiful temple that the Brahma Samhita was obtained in the, a Vishnu reclining on the Adi Keshava temple there, where Vishnu is reclining, and it's very, very beautiful, gorgeous temple there. And I think a lot of maintenance is even being done by ISKCON right now in the temple. And then it's a Sri Vaishnava temple, and one of their 108 Vaishnava Divya Deshams. And then here, and then it also talks about the observance of the different festivities at Jagannath Puri. And on the way, it talks about the discussions with Ramananda Raya, and how the exalted conversations and the return of Ramananda Raya back to Jagannath Puri. It talks about instructions to, it then talks about his travel to Vrindavan, and on the way it talks about his stopping at the and giving instructions to Rupa Goswami, and then on his return there is conversations with Sanatana Goswami at both in Prayag and in Varanasi respectively. And then it talks about the conversations with Prakashananda Saraswati. So with Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the head of the Advaitins there, the Shankara Mutt, which is there in Kashi, and how Mahaprabhu had a profound impact on the Mayavadi sannyasis there, and his and their conversion to Vaishnavism. And then the Antya Leela, which is also quite big, and it has about 20 chapters, not as big as the Madhya Leela in terms of the number of activities, because Antya Leela has all these Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, Antya Leela, they're all very distinct in terms of their activities. So the Adi Leela talks about activities from a different perspective. The Madhya Leela is, a lot of it is pilgrimage. The Antya Leela is, a lot of it is very intimate pastimes with his associates, and a little more esoteric, and at a different level. Therefore, Madhya Leela is more of a preaching activities, but Antya Leela is very intimate, and a lot of it is very intimate pastimes with his associates, and his interactions with Krishna in is very elaborate, is quite elaborate in Antya Leela, and his moods and the Mahabhava exhibited and everything. So interaction, so there are also some occasional critics. There was somebody called Ramachandra, and they all came, and they had some occasional, and how Mahaprabhu interacted with them. Even the other, you know, the other lineage, there was also Vallabha, Vallabhacharya. So even he came and to Mahaprabhu and accepted his advice, and also took initiation from Gadadhara Pandit. And then there were some elaborate conversations with Raghunath Das Goswami, and then Mahaprabhu personally signs the books written by Rupa Goswami, the dramas called the Lalita Madhava and Vidardha Madhava. And then it contains a chapter or so on his activities with Jagadananda Pandit. and the activities of Jagannath Pandit, which are very, very amusing and very nice to read, and shows his the differences in his activities compared to the different devotees, different associates, and his Swarupa Dhamodar with Raghunath, and then it ends with the Lord's increasing agony of separation from Krishna, and how he in turn exhibits those pastimes in Krishna Viraha. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, ends with the eight prayers called as the Shikshashtaka, which gives the sum and substance of what we need to be doing. So Chaitanya Charitamrita was is a most well-read and popularized and heavily enjoyed by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas historically, and it has been pretty much translated by every Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya, including Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then in the same lineage we have this amazing our amazing purports by Prabhupada. So let's go to the next one. This is the Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Even though this is not mentioned, of course, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so there is a small mistake here in this verse. This first line should actually read written by Sri Lochanadas Thakur. So please forgive my mistake here, some error here. It is written by Sri Lochanadas Thakur. Okay, and this is in turn, so the rest is correct. The first sentence is wrong here. It's again divided into four khandas. One is called the Sutra Khanda, okay, and then which contains 1,800 verses. And it's a prelude to Krishna's appearance as Lord Gauranga in Navadvip, and why in turn he appeared, the instructions of Narada Muni, and why Narada Muni really wanted this, and the events that lead to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. The Adi Khanda, it contains 3,300 verses, and this is again written in Bengali. And then early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up to his trip to Gaya. So it's that is in the Adi Khanda. The Madhya Khanda is, of course, the largest, which contains 4,300 verses. After Gaya, it talks about all the way up to his sannyasa and accepting and his deliverance of Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sheshakanta gives his a brief anecdote of all his pilgrimage to both southern and the northern India, both to the temples in the south as well as to Brajamandal. But Chaitanya Mangala is not very descriptive in that sense. It is not that chronological in the first place, and it is also not very descriptive in terms of its activities. It's more based on the mellows and the different rasas exhibited, and it's more esoteric. And out of all these biographies, I would say Chaitanya Mangala is the hardest to read and even understand. And it is very poetic, and it excels in terms of the way things are being delivered. And it's very Chaitanya Charitamrita is very neutral. Okay, it has rasa, it has mellows, it has description, it has philosophy, the theology, and the metaphysics. Everything is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Bhagavata has the theology, but it is heavily descriptive. But Chaitanya Mangala is very esoteric. It's very rasa-oriented. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and if you expect that it is going to be very similar to Chaitanya Mangala, you will be very deceived there, because Chaitanya Mangala is very different in terms of the way it approaches it. The rasas and the mellows, the mellows exhibited there and how it approaches is very different. Chaitanya Bhagavata. So, but initially Chaitanya Mangala was also called as Chaitanya Bhagavata. And that is why if you see the translations of these verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami refers to Chaitanya Bhagavata of Vrindavan Das Thakur as Chaitanya Mangala. Okay, so when Chaitanya Bhagavata was written, it was written as Chaitanya Mangala. But then we find there is, the devotees found that there is another book written by Sri Lochanadas Thakur, also as Sri Chaitanya Mangala. So all the leading Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, so Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and then Kashishwar Pandit, Pandit Haridas Goswami, and Anantacharya, they all joined together. They came to a meeting in Vrindavan to solve this problem, and then they renamed the Chaitanya Mangala, or written by Srila Vrindavanadas Thakur as Chaitanya Bhagavata. So that's why if you see this, it's written as Chaitanya Bhagavata, but it is initially called Chaitanya Mangala, but then the leading Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, they renamed this Chaitanya Mangala as Chaitanya Bhagavata. Again, I apologize for this, that this should be written as Srila Lochanadas Thakur, okay, who wrote this book on Chaitanya Mangala. Okay, and there is actually a very nice book actually written by, I think, His Holiness Mahanadi Swami, and it talks very nice, it gives a beautiful translation of Sri Chaitanya Mangala. And the next biography we will briefly visit is called as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. So Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya is written by Sri Murari Gupta. This is the earliest biography because this was written just immediately after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, and Murari Gupta was a personal associate of Mahaprabhu. He was there. He was a contemporary. Mahaprabhu was extensively interacted with him, and so he had personal knowledge. And Chaitanya Charitamrita was written more from the diaries, the notebooks written by, see, both by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarupa Damodar. So it was taken from the notes, and then it was written as Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya is written by a contemporary who directly associated with Mahaprabhu, and all the biographies pretty much based on this. Tritha is called as Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. Sometimes it's called as just as Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, and sometimes it's called as Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. Excuse me. It's the earliest biography available, and it's written in Sanskrit. Unlike the other biographies written in Bengali, this is written in Sanskrit. It has four books in it. The first book talks about appearance till the return of Mahaprabhu from Gaya. The second book is about the ecstatic moods and of Mahaprabhu, and it ends with the acceptance of sannyasa. So, and then the third book again talks about the acceptance of sannyasa, and then it goes all the way till the Jagannath Puri pastimes. The last book is predominantly about the Braja pastimes and the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu at Puri. Yes, give me one second. So this is, so these are, Sri Murari Gupta was a physician, and it is very popularly said that he not only cured the material diseases because of the bodily diseases, but also he cured the spiritual diseases. And it's both Chaitanya Bhagavata was heavily inspired of Sri Vrindavanadas Thakur, was also heavily inspired from Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. And also the Chaitanya Mangala written by Sri Lochanadas Thakur was in turn inspired by this Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. So again, this one also is not very chronological in that sense, but then it gives the essence. But all of them are very unanimous in the fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is unanimous. There might be some differences in terms of the very small descriptions of the pastimes, because every devotee sees that from their angle and then describes. But the essence is all the same in all these biographies. But then the number of biographies that are available shows that the intense affection that the devotees had for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how they in turn wanted to describe the activities of Mahaprabhu. So that's very, very clear. The next biography, which is there, it's not that much of a biography. It's more of a description of some of the activities of Mahaprabhu. And this is called as Chaitanya Chandramrita. And this was written by Srila Prabhodananda Saraswati Thakur. And it is written in Sanskrit again. It contains 12 chapters, and it contains some very intimate mellows and rasas. So Prabhodananda Saraswati Thakur was in the Srirangam temple, and he was the uncle of one of the Goswamis, Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And when Prabodhananda Saraswati saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Srirangam temple, he noted some of the amazing activities and the mellows exhibited by Mahaprabhu, which are all which are all recorded in this scripture called as the Chaitanya Chandramrita. And I've given some verses here which tell some of the ways by which the devotees, when Mahaprabhu traveled to the south, it tells how the devotees viewed Mahaprabhu and how his activities were. So one of the verses here, it says, Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya. It's a very famous verse actually. Hema Badhivya Chavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. So Ananda Lila. So Ananda Lila means full of blissful pastimes. Ananda Lila Maya. So full of blissful pastimes. Vigrahaya. So if a vigra is a person, it's like a personality. So if you make a person full of blissful pastimes, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hema means golden. Hema with Divya, it's just not material gold, but Divya means transcendental gold. So if the transcendental gold is just put, okay, so that is Hema with Divya, Chavi Sundaraya. So all this amazing Sundaraya is beautiful. So very beautiful, Hema with Divya, transcendental gold, because Mahaprabhu is so golden in his appearance. So he's called Hema with Divya, Chavi Sundaraya. Tasmai. Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya. So, and he was distributing his own amazing Krishna Prema, Maha Pradaya, Rasa Pradaya, that mellow of Krishna, Maha Prema Rasa, or the mellow of Krishna, Krishna's love. He was freely distributing it. Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Unto that moon-like Chaitanya, he offers his humble obeisances. I pulled another verse just for example here to show the kind of mellows that are there in Chaitanya Chandramrita. Samsara Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. Samsara is material existence. So if you want, Tarani means to cross. So if you want to cross the ocean of material existence, and Hridayam Yadishyata Hriday, if your heart is willing to cross the ocean of material existence, Sankirta Namrita Rase Ramathe Manaschet. If your mind, Manas, as if your mind is wishing to float, Ramate means to enjoy in the rasa of the nectarian, Amrita is nectar, in the nectarian Krishna Sankirtan. Okay, so if your heart is willing to cross the ocean of material existence, and if your mind is willing to enjoy the rasa of the nectarian Krishna Sankirtan, Premambudu Viharane Yadi Chitta Vritti, if your consciousness, Chitta is consciousness, is willing to reside, Viharani is reside in Premambudo, in the ocean of Krishna Prema. Okay, Ambuda is ocean. And the ocean of Krishna Prema, Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Prayatu. So unto the moon-like Chaitanya's lotus feet, Charanam Sharanam. So okay, Sharanam Prayatu, please pay obeisances unto the lotus feet, okay, of surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Chandra. So this is, so you can see that in this Chaitanya Chandramrita, it talks about the exquisite beauty and activities and the pastimes, the mellows that are being exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how it was received, it is not that big in size, actually. It's the smallest of the lot, but it talks about the past, the mellows that are exhibited in Chaitanya Chandramrita is very distinctly different from those exhibited in the others, like Chaitanya Mangala, Bhagavata, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in essence, all of them are unanimous in their description of Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the primordial personality, as Krishna, not just as some incarnation, as not just as some avatar, but as the original personality of Godhead descending directly from Vraja Gokul. So that is about Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita. Let's go to the next one. This is the Chaitanya Chandrodaya. Chandrodaya, this is a drama, okay? This is a play act. It was written by Srila Kavikarnapura. Kavikarnapura was one of the sons of Shivananda Sen. He had three sons, and one of them is the Kavikarnapura, and who has written some very, very nice thing. He has given the identities of all the associates of Mahaprabhu as it occurs in Krishna Leela in one particular scripture. In another scripture, he has written this beautiful drama which contains the activity. This is also a biography of Mahaprabhu, but more in the form of a drama. So it contains play acts. The first act is an introduction of how Mahaprabhu appeared. The second gives about all the appearances, incarnations. The third is about it. It's called as Dhanakeli pastimes. It talks about the activities of the Radha Krishna pastimes act, in Act 3. The Act 4 talks about acceptance of sannyasa. Act 5, when Mahaprabhu after sannyasa, he goes to Advaita Acharya's house and the drama that occurs there with Sachimata and the food and the elaborate food preparation that happens there and what Mahaprabhu does, what Nityananda Prabhu does. That is in Act 5. Act 6 about is the deliverance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri. Act 7 talks about the journey to the holy places. Okay. Act 8 is about the deliverance of King Prataparudra. Act 9 talks about the journey to Vraja, Mathura specifically. And then Act 10 is the trip of Shivananda Sen to Jagannath Puri and some of the things that happened there. It's very, very humorous also in some situations and very nice to read. And so this is also, this is a very nice book and they used heavily for play and acting. And this is called as Sri Chaitanya Chandrahodaya Nataka. And so with this, so the reason why we discussed about all these things is because here Chaitanya Charitamrita is ending and Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about one of the biographies which precedes, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had, which is the Chaitanya Bhagavata. But here it talks about all the different biographies. And there are a few more actually, which are not, which are more, a few more actually, but these are the main and heavily, appreciated and enjoyed by the Gaudiya Vaishnava. So we are now going to talk about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also tells in these verses like how it is so hard for even a personality like him to describe about the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because it is so super mundane in nature. So we'll briefly talk about it. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually says here about this in these verses that one must actually perceive all these things as the transcendental significance. Okay, they all have a transcendental significance because one cannot perceive Krishna in just some mundane literature. Okay, as long as one is attached to the bodily concept of life and is very interested only in enjoying the senses, that person will never be able to grasp the spiritual truth. So that means the sum and substance is you let go the material desires, then it is simultaneously as you're grasping Krishna. Both have to happen simultaneously. As long as one keeps holding to material desires, to that level, the spiritual truth is hard to grasp. So the spiritual master, you know, out of his causeless mercy helps with this, you know, but the spiritual love of Krishna is untainted. And it is said that Swarupa Dhamodar, who is a personal associate of Mahaprabhu, says that it is like the sacred waters of the river Ganga. And that love is like an unlimited ocean of nectar. And the devotee's spiritual attachment for such loving relationship is actually totally free from even the slightest material contamination. Okay, so it's like a spotless cloth and it is without any contamination. And that's how this pure love of Godhead is. It's like an ocean of bliss. And if one could just have even one drop from that ocean, that would inundate the entire universe. And one should feel so bad that one is not 100% attached, that is, one is 100% attached to the material body and controlled by the material desires that that one cannot be in the original form of the spirit, okay, is not being manifest. And so one should be feel really bad about this when one is blinded by this material desire and he rejects this pure spiritual love for Lord Krishna. In fact, it won't even awake because of this deceitful approach. If one has mundane desires in mind and one approaches Krishna, it is very deceitful. But then if one is very earnest and sincere and he implores Krishna for his mercy, then that person will be crowned with success according to Sri Swarupa Dhamodar and as elaborated later by Jagadananda Pandit. So the spiritual exchanges and emotions that one experiences, okay, they... that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experience, they're all of supramundane in nature and it's very hard to fathom. So they're always experienced, such emotions are always experienced in the platform between Krishna and the pure spiritual beings. The pure spiritual beings, Therefore, but at the same time, one should also not impose mundane qualities, mundane concepts on these spiritual exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. It's best just not even to read them if one is just imposing such mundane concepts on them. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even he wrote a commentary of Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. I think he just made like one copy or something and just kept it, because it was not like, because people were just going to put mundane concepts onto such exalted literature, which is just beyond mundane conception. And therefore, by the Lord's mercy alone, one can be purified to even understand these transcendental mellows of Lord Chaitanya. So at that time, one would reject all other sentiments and emotions, and they will completely surrender themselves to Lord Krishna. So as long as one is engrossed in the pleasures of the material world, it is impossible to transcend the loving and even understand the loving exchanges, okay, of Krishna, that one cannot even hear, that one cannot hear the beautiful flute sound that can evoke ecstatic emotions and spiritual sentiments. And as long as one is not able to hear it, that person need to be considered as unfortunate. So be considered as unfortunate, and therefore... So that is what is written here in this in these verses. That's what Sri Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he tells the mood that one needs to be having as one receives Chaitanya Charitamrita, and as Chaitanya Charitamrita is ending. So in this mood, okay, so if one reads this Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, one can swiftly return to their once eternal home in the forest of Goloka, and dissociating oneself from the material body and the previous identity and any material association. So when gradually one develops this mood of the gopis and begins to recollect the original identity in the spiritual world and cuts loose all the material attachment, and then Krishna becomes the sole object of love for that spiritual body. And Krishna is the repository of all that love. So he approaches, so this in spiritual being as ourself, we can approach, we approach through an intermediary who is a guru, who constantly reminds us of the love for the beloved Krishna. And in this way, one is able to focus their attention to focus their attention back to Krishna. So with that, this is my last slide. This is another thing which is being said in this verse, and it's about humility. It shows about the humility that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has. And Trinadapi Suni Chen has very, very widely to us, cited thing about how one needs to be humble for progress in Krishna consciousness. What does humility do? What is humility? Humility is not to be very anxious, okay, to have the satisfaction of being honored by others, whether somebody honors or not. Okay, so one is not very anxious to receive this honor from others. And if one practices humility, one of the first things that we get from that is freedom from craving for external honor. Okay, so whether somebody respects us or not, it doesn't matter. It gives us that freedom. And it also empowers us in some ways. It empowers us to act for our and everyone's long-term good. So humility is needed for us to even work for our own good. Okay, if we are not taking humility, that means that we are not actually acting for our own good in the first place. And then Srila Prabhupada himself is an epitome of humility. You know, he was Prabhupada, the manner in which Prabhupada exhibited the opulence of modesty and humility is actually beyond compare. So in spite of being the spiritual master for a whole world, he was a confidential associate of the Supreme Lord Krishna, a greatest personality on the surface of the earth. Okay, he was considered as a commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's army. But Srila Prabhupada showed how humble as pure spiritual master can be, even though, and as an acharya, Prabhupada taught, so this is called as an acharya, he taught by his own example. And And this allows us being humble. So Prabhupada himself personally mentioned that the symptoms of devotees, there are two important symptoms. One is called meekness and one is humility. Okay, being meek and humble. And this allows us to actually chant the names of Krishna incessantly. And another thing I just want to point out before I end this conversation, we'll open up this for discussion, is humility actually goes very hand in hand with tolerance. Okay, because tolerance requires is very critical, and it goes, they are like two, when one has two arms, okay, one arm is the humility and the other arm is tolerance, because the material life is full of suffering, and every time things don't go, a lot of times things don't go the way we think, and it goes, sometimes it goes very badly. And how to be tolerant in all those circumstances, completely depending on Krishna, and that at the end of the day, all that is meant for one's growth, spiritual growth, and it has been personally orchestrated by Krishna. I mean, but even though the devotees always take that as suffering their own fruits from the previous lifetimes, okay, karma from all the previous lifetimes, which are crucifying now, but still Krishna is keeping a close watch on those things, and and they take it in such a way that one probably should be suffering a lot more, but it has already been substantially reduced by the mercy of Krishna, and so that is tolerance. So with in Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami here talks about this humility in these verses. So with this, there is only like a very few verses left in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so it's almost to the end, and it has been a really great opportunity to talk towards the in the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I really appreciate you the leadership of this group inviting me. So thank you so much, and
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a detailed explanation of each and every book, Prabhuji. We are so thankful to you. Explaining about like detailed explanation about Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Mangala, Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahakavya, and Chaitanya Chandramrita, Chaitanya Chandrodaya. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It gives us some, at least for me, some detailed explanation what books we have to read and how like Vaishnavas will enjoy reading those books. We are so thankful to you, Prabhuji. So, are you, Prabhuji, can you take some questions or realizations from the devotees?
Next number, 62 times 9. Yes, okay, 62
Hare Krishna times devotees, I request if anybody have any questions or realizations, you can please go ahead.
62 times
9. Mataji, can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear you. Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for such a wonderful class, and especially covering all the books, like what you mentioned. There is just one book that's spoken about in this chapter, and you really give us an opportunity to look at all the different treasures that cover the different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you explain what the contents are. Very wonderful class, and really grateful for your association, and thank you for the slides that helps us to go back and reread also what you're talking about. So one question I had was, I mean, all, as you said, you were saying that all of them are at, like, Lochandas Thakur's book is Chaitanya Mangala, that has a different mellow when compared to Chaitanya Charitamrita or how Chaitanya Bhagavata is written. So which are the ones that we really need to go through at the stage in our life or here right now?
So, Mataji, all these books are very, they all need to be read in a, you know, as much as one wants to know more about Mahaprabhu and his activities. They approach from a different angle, and Chaitanya Bhagavata is probably the easiest to read. In terms, because it's very descriptive, but But Chaitanya Charitamrita is really very sophisticated in its the way it gives its explanation. So there will be a little adjusting to do when one starts reading Chaitanya Bhagavata. So, but after that adjustment, because it talks mainly about Mahaprabhu from a divine perspective everywhere. But Chaitanya Charitamrita also talks about Mahaprabhu also from how he approached as a sannyasi, or how he approached as the devotee. Talks about, but Chaitanya Bhagavata is heavily from talks about him him as the personality of Godhead. But it's the way it talks is different, but it's very descriptive and it's much easier to read. It's almost twice the size of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, but it is heavily focused on the Adi Leela, and so there'll be some adjusting to do, but it'll be the easiest to read. But Chaitanya Mangala is very different. It will be the expectations that you might have after reading Chaitanya Charitamrita to read Chaitanya Mangala can be very different, because Chaitanya Mangala is almost, the pastimes are very minimal, but it is so elaborate on the rasa. So it is not that much on, it just doesn't talk just about activity number one, activity number two. It doesn't go like that. So it talks about his the emotions and the bhava and even the external symptoms, like how he laughs, how he cries, how he shivers, how, you know, those kind of pastimes are so elaborate. So it is very different, and but it is very sweet. It's so sweet that I would definitely read it at some point of time, because it's very sweet. It's very sweet in terms of the mellows it exhibits. It's very soothing, and the love for Mahaprabhu is so evident in all these scriptures. That's what you would see, the intense love that they all have. Even the Chaitanya Chandramrita, which is the smallest of the lot of the, it has 12 chapters, but it's very small in size. And it is written in Sanskrit, but you will see the intense love for Mahaprabhu, and that it is not just written by wherever Mahaprabhu went, how the devotees saw him and how they perceive how his ecstatic emotions and symptoms and everything that he exhibited is so visible in them. Chaitanya Chandramrita is easy to read, and it is actually very joyful, because it talks about how some of the things that it describes are very, very joyful exhibition of Mahaprabhu's activities. Chaitanya Chandrodaya is, of course, it's a drama, you know, so that's a little different from all these biographies. And so I would really suggest reading everything. But if you asked for an order, I would start with Chaitanya Bhagavata after Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's the easiest to read, followed by Chaitanya Mangala, which is which will be very different. If somebody has read Chaitanya Charitamrita at least 5 to 10 times, it will take a little adjusting to do to read Chaitanya Mangala, but it will be very easy. Once you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the others will be easier to comprehend and go. But for anybody, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the best to start, because Prabhupada has written the translations, and it is widely studied. And so Chaitanya Charitamrita is, of course, the correct place to start as far as Mahaprabhu's pastimes are concerned. So thank you, Madhushi.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice answer. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah, even the Antya Leela has been a very difficult journey because of so many of, it shows some, at least it shows us what Mahaprabhu was experiencing to a certain extent, and it has been quite heavy in that respect, but very sweet. It's very, very nectarian, and anyone would automatically develop an attachment to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hearing this. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat pranams. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu, for such a beautiful slide, beautiful presentation, and how your extensive research on different books and their contents. I just have one question. Do any of these books describes extensively about how Mahaprabhu winded up his pastimes from this material world, or they just have the vague thing, like nothing is, you know, concrete about it.
So none of the authorized biographies say anything about the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. They all stop. No, but they don't want to discuss those things. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so loved by his associates. And even after hundreds of years, we are here having a Zoom conference about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So nobody really wants to talk about that. It's just there are many popular legends, of course, which talk about how Mahaprabhu disappeared in the Tota Gopinath temple, some say directly in the Jagannath temple, and how he went into the deity there. And so there are some legends there, but none of the biographies say anything. There are some unauthorized biographies. They give their own, I'm sad to say that they have the name, which is the first name of mine, which is called Jayananda. There is somebody there with that name, actually, but it's not, it's unauthorized. And in fact, in the Chaitanya Mangala, in the in the introduction page written by His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami, he writes there that the same Chaitanya Mangala was also with the same name. This person called Jayananda also wrote it. And how one should not read it. So, but
so all these legends, they don't, whatever they are coming up, they don't have any authorized basis, right?
It has been our Vaishnava Acharyas have said that. So it's not authorized basis. Yeah.
Makes sense, Prabhu. Like just reading what Mahaprabhu went through in his Antelila pastime.
I think I just got cut off. I just didn't hear anything.
Mataji, you're in mute, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I was just saying, Prabhu, that I do relate to what you said, because Antelila pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was itself so difficult to read because it was so painful. So it's very obvious that how come, you know, his disappearance can ever be described by his intimate associates. So yeah, you rightly said. But thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for all your association, for all your hard work, and that all you for beautiful slides. So thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
It's also very similar to Krishna's disappearance, Mataji. I have hardly seen people discussing that.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, makes sense, Prabhu. Thank you.
We have starting lecture on Krishna's disappearance.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji.